Welcome to Catholic Sports View, a look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Here we go. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here's your host, Bob Gibson.
Welcome once again to Catholic Sports View. I am Bob Gibson, and as always, we are brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Orange. Lots of stories to pass along to you as we get going here this week, and we're going to update you on the girls' volleyball brackets in the CIF playoffs. And I'm excited about our interview this week, so I'm going to talk more about that and give you some more background in just a couple of minutes. But let's start out with the volleyball brackets. Modern Day, the top seed in Division One, no problem. Three-game sweep of Palos Verdes and the opening of pool play. They were in Pool A. So Division One, the only one with pool play in it. That's the way they've set it up. So that's the Division One championships. Modern Day, of course, the top seed, the top team anywhere, and the only Trinity League team in Division One. And so a good start for them as they will continue on this week. Over in Division Two, two out of the three teams that made the Division Two playoffs have advanced to the quarterfinals. Exciting there, Orange Lutheran. So Etiwanda in the opener took out Elisa Niguel 3-2 in the second round, and now they get to the quarterfinals. Well, they will take on Edison. Santa Margarita made a little bit of a run, took out Ontario Christian in the opening round, but then ran into Newport Harbor. Always a tough draw in the second round. Newport Harbor got them, and they will advance to the quarterfinals. But Jay Sarah, they continue on in their great season, and they really look to be rounding into shape here. We know how good of a team they were, very young team, very talented. 3-0 over Milliken in the opener, and then 3-1 over Rancho Cucamonga in round two, and they get La Cañada. They'll have to go on the road, though, in the quarterfinals. So congratulations. Good luck to Orange Lutheran and Jay Sarah and Modern Day as they continue into the girls' volleyball playoffs. And a lot of fun. They got a chance to get two champions here in the Trinity. That would be a lot of fun and a very real possibility. Elsewhere, the CIF Southern Section has announced that the Division One football championship game, and I know the running joke, of course, with a lot of people, is it's the annual Modern Day St. John Bosco CIF championship game. Could very well be that again this year, although we have some really good teams and there's still a lot of football to be played. But it certainly has played out that way so many times in recent years. But that championship football game, regardless of who plays in it, will be played this year at the LA Memorial Coliseum. It's the 100th anniversary of the Coliseum. It should be a lot of fun. Don't forget the 100th anniversary of the Rose Bowl saw that game played there as well. So now they're going to take it to the Coliseum. Should be fun. It's what a great historic place for the kids to be able to go and play this football game. That game will be on Friday, November 25th. Kickoff is at 7 o'clock, and we got a long way to go to get through the playoffs. And as we know, Bosco already got Modern Day in their league game. Could the two meet up again in the CIF championship game? It's a very real possibility because we've seen it quite a few times. But as we mentioned, a lot of football to be played. And the CIF Southern Section also announced its 39th Hall of Fame class. And the CIF Southern Section at a luncheon just last week put in a great group of people who have contributed to high school athletics here in Southern California over the years here in the CIF Southern Section. And that group, of course, included the great football coach from Modern Day High School, Bruce Rawlinson, 34 years. Don't forget, he retired after last season. But what a great legacy Bruce Rawlinson left at Modern Day. 8 CIF Southern Section championships, 4 CIF state championships, 5 national championships, and an overall record of 341-87-2. Very well deserved. Bruce Rawlinson, now a member of the CIF Southern Section Hall of Fame, along with so many other great people. The list is on the CIF website, CIFSS.org. And if you want to look and see a lot of the great names there, and the Southern Section does a great job of honoring just a wide variety of people in their Hall of Fame. So good to see. Congratulations to everybody. And as always, good to see a Trinity League legend in there. And of course, that is especially true when it comes to Bruce Rawlinson. So now that we've got all that out of the way, I want to talk about our interview for this week. Well, J. Sarah High School, they have a journalism program there that is so good, and they have a great teacher there, Sarah Breckbill. She's a veteran of Cox Communications. She's been a producer. She's been a reporter. She's done a lot of different things, worn so many different hats over the years with Cox and with other organizations, Orange County News Channel, and now a teacher at J. Sarah. So she's helping that next group of journalists, that next group of broadcasters that may want to come through and become and do what we do here, do what I've done for so many years. So I wondered if everybody out there kind of know my story and what I've done and how I got here. I just wanted to share that with everybody, if that's okay with everyone. I, too, once upon a time, was a young high school kid in Southern California who wanted to be a reporter and got to live that dream. Grew up in Orange County, knew in the 10th grade that I wanted to be a sports writer. Started out that way. After I graduated from high school, I got a chance to go to this thing called the Sportscasters Camps of America, and it was run by Roy Engelbrecht, who would go on to become a boxing promoter in Orange County. You of course, may know the name. And Bob Miller, the old Kings play-by-play announcer, they got together and created this thing called the Sportscasters Camps of America. And what it was a week-long hands-on camp, but not a fantasy camp, a real chance to do this and call baseball games and call basketball games and actually do what people do for a living, what I do for a living now. And it really was this great week-long thing. I even got to interview the late, great Hank Gathers, who was a camper that first year at the camp. He wanted to do this for a living. And then, unfortunately, you know, Hank passed away, as many of you know, in that basketball game at Loyola Marymount so many years ago, tragically. But Hank wanted to do this as well someday after his playing days. Got to meet and interview him and so many other great and fun people I met along the way at the Sportscasters Camp. I met somebody there. We created a show together. That show was called Sports Spotlight. Started out as a public access show. We ended up selling that show to the old Sports Channel. If anyone remembers Sports Channel LA, it had a short-lived run on Sports Channel LA before that kind of changed hands and became something different. But it was the first time I had a chance to be on the air, and we actually sold the show to another entity, and that was a lot of fun. Got hired on to do news. I was a news anchor for 15 years in the Costa Mesa area. Enjoyed doing that. Built a sports segment on that newscast basically from the ground up, and had the chance to cover so many great stories, so many great athletes, so many great coaches and people over the years that we did news there in that area. So did that for 15 years. We transitioned into some other news stuff. We created a sports department within Time Warner Cable. I was part of that and created a 24-hour sports channel for high school sports right there in Southern California. We covered everything from Ventura County all the way down into San Diego. We covered a lot of stuff. So for those of you that remember what we did at Time Warner Cable, we had a lot of fun doing that as well. I have had a great career. I've had a lot of fun. Then eventually got the opportunity to come here, create what was originally a radio program, now a podcast here with Catholic Sports View. I love every second of doing this. This is what I wanted to do since I was a kid. And I know a lot of other kids probably have that same dream. And I hope they get a chance to live that dream as well. And anything I can do to help them as well as people helped me when it was when I was a young person, young reporter coming up, I hope I can maybe help them as well. That's exactly what Sarah Breckbill is doing at J. Sarah Catholic High School. She's helping the next crop of kids discover this business. It's a lot of work. You put a lot of time and work into it, but it's well worth it. They're using state-of-the-art equipment, as we find out in the interview here. So I was really excited to talk to Sarah, who I've known for a very long time, worked with her over the years, and I'm excited to see what she's doing with this class at J. Sarah Catholic. And so wanted to present that interview to you and talk about this next group of sports broadcasters that are coming up. So here's our discussion with Sarah Breckbill, J. Sarah Catholic High School journalism teacher. And we welcome in Sarah Breckbill. She is a broadcast journalism teacher at J. Sarah Catholic High School. Sarah, thanks for taking a couple of minutes to talk to us about, I think, what's a fun class and a very important subject, and that is sports reporting, and near and dear to both of our hearts. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely. How did this class originate at J. Sarah? Was there a lot of interest from students? Were there people who wanted to learn sports journalism?
Well, actually, a previous teacher who used to teach here Mr. Paul Higgins used to teach here prior to I did. He left to go over to Santa Margarita, and just out of the blue, some parents that I knew from St. Edward's Catholic Elementary School reached out to me saying, hey, this is your background. There's a position open here at JCERA, and you'd be perfect for it. So I reached out to Eric Stoop, who's our principal, kind of said, hey, you know, this is my background. I heard you were looking for a teacher, and the rest from there is history. So the class was already sort of, or the classes were already started here at JCERA, but I sort of narrowed it down to three particular tracks, which would be like the TV broadcast and then the sports broadcast, and then our advanced TV studio class. And one of them is sports broadcasting and entertainment. It's kind of a combination class of sports broadcasting and entertainment, where the kids not only do sports coverage, sports highlights, they learn how to be sports broadcasters and reporters, but they also get to produce segments that are along the lines of entertainment and current affairs type of stuff.
The perfect setting for it, obviously, JCERA being a member of the Trinity League, as we cover the Trinity here on Catholic Sports View. So a lot of good sports to cover there at the school. I'm sure the coaches love this as well. It's a chance for the kids to really get involved even more so with the athletic programs.
Yeah, they love it. And our athletic director, Chris Ledyard, is really supportive of fostering the program and moving it along. And so my class right now has 18 students. And some of them are actually looking to be in this field and narrow their skills and get them more up to speed in the skills of sports broadcasting, which is really great. Some of the kids just are passionate about sports. Mm-hmm. And also they're really passionate about videography and editing, and they love to do sports highlights. And it's really great. It gives students who are thinking along these lines a great introduction to the industry, so that when they transition into college, even, they're already hitting the ground running at some of the college programs that are out there.
What's the most surprising thing you think kids find about this when they get into it? Maybe they have a little bit of a background, maybe they don't, but what surprises them the most?
I think the most surprising thing for students who take this class and who decide to maybe pursue it is that we have state-of-the-art equipment and facilities for them, which is really great. And I also teach them on a pro level, you know, editing platform for what they do. So they get to learn Adobe Creative Cloud. They get to learn how to edit in Adobe Premiere. I'm going to introduce them to After Effects. So they all get introduced to, you know, basically the introductory stuff, which is really great. And I think they're surprised about that. Plus, I really teach them how to cover sports in such a way that they can compete in the professional world. They get to do stuff that looks like the stuff that they see on network television, and they get to sort of work towards that level of production,
which I think is really important. When I took a radio kind of class at junior college, they kind of opened the doors and blew the dust off everything, and all the equipment was, you know, 40, 50 years old. And I remember in the 90s, there was a lot of hand-me-down equipment for some classes that took place and some ROP type classes in some public high schools. And a lot of that equipment was very outdated, but important to have this. You're right. The state-of-the-art stuff. Kids are going to be going into the professional realm.
Yes, absolutely. So we make sure here at JCERA that we have the latest state-of-the-art equipment, especially computers. We just outfitted my classroom this year with all brand new Mac Studio Pro computers. And each student gets an Adobe Creative Cloud account that they can sign into and edit on and use the entire Adobe suite, which is really great. And then we have state-of-the-art equipment like DSLR cameras, pro-level JVC 4K cameras for them to use. And then our studio is outfitted right now with a three-camera setup, professional green screen, professional staging, like a professional set. And they really get access to a lot of great resources and equipment here at JCERA, which we're really proud of.
And I know you're getting a new studio pretty soon, right?
That's I am getting a new studio. They are under construction right now in our building one, because eventually down the line, we're going to have a building four. Right now we have three buildings, but we're going to have a building four, which will be an arts building, because the long-term goal for the school under construction is to get a building four, which is the arts building. And they're going to be putting a small black box theater in that building, along with a bunch of orchestra rooms, choir rooms, art rooms, art studios for advanced art classes. drawing and painting, our photography, everything's going to be moved over into that building four. But before we do that, in the next year and a half to 2 years, they are building me a studio down on the ground floor of this building, so that it'll be a larger, much bigger state-of-the-art studio with a new control room, new studio, a double-walled green screen. And the great thing about it is it's in a position in building one where it's directly adjacent to the new arts building that'll be being built next door. So they decided to move me down right away, get me set in there. And then when they build a new arts building, I'll be able to be connected to the arts building so that we can record and also do productions from our facility in our control room, in our studio, connected to the new theater that they're going to be building in building four. So it'll be really nice.
This is so important too, because for JCR to make this commitment to this, because as we hear in public schools, a lot of times the arts, music, that kind of thing, the funding for that stuff has gone out the door. But so for a private Catholic institution like JCR Catholic, it's important that kids are able to come to school here and have these options.
Right. Definitely for the arts program. I mean, you know, we have a great sports facility on the south side of our campus. The gymnasium, the fields, everything is state of the art over there. And so they really want to balance it out over here on the academic side of our campus by, you know, making sure that the arts program is also looked after along with our academic classes as well.
Who's your student? Who comes to you maybe in the middle of the semester and says, hey, you know what? I think I might want to do this next year. Who is that kid at JCR?
That kind of kid is the kind of kid that isn't afraid to put it out there. I mean, basically get in front of their, you know, their class and really, you know, show themselves to the class and who they are. And under my guidance and the school's guidance and stuff, we kind of, you know, help them take control because, you know, nowadays kids are getting super creative and really there's no holds bar, you know, with what these kids put out there on social media and stuff. However, I try to rein it in a little bit and get them more focused on giving out a really good message in the light of God and respecting themselves most of all and their fellow man. So that's the way we like to guide them and teach them and give them the resources to be super creative and outgoing. And a lot of them are so impassioned about what they're seeing out there in terms of network TV or social media or even in the sports world that they want to do that same and they want to challenge themselves, which is really fun. And then once they grasp the concepts and stuff and the skills, it's really fun to watch because there's no holds bar. Like they love to teach themselves how to do it. You know, sometimes they're teaching me how to do some things, which is really great. But yeah, I mean, it's the kind of kid that's not afraid to put it out there and put themselves out there.
That's fun. I'm sure it's great to see those kids blossom and really take root in this.
Definitely.
So I've known you a long time. We've known each other for a very long time, worked together over the years. Cox Communications, we did Game of the Week stuff. This is right up your alley, right? I mean, your background is in television. I've been a producer for many years, did so many types of different TV shows, so many sports productions. Did you ever think you were going to get into teaching at some point in your career?
You know what? I never thought I would teach. Only because, not because I don't love kids. And I do. I love kids. I have two kids of my own, but they're grown and they're in their 20s and stuff like that. But when I thought about teaching, I was thinking, I don't know if I have the patience, you know, I don't know if I have the strength or the stamina because, you know, regardless, it's a young person's thing to teach. I'm just saying. And I transitioned from after 25 years in TV broadcast and doing sports broadcasting to this job teaching at the age of 52. And it's normally you start this kind of thing at the age of 22. But the thing that really surprised me is that I really loved it. And I didn't realize how much I would love it and how much I would love these kids and how passionate I would be for them because it's so rewarding and it's exhausting, but it is so rewarding. And it's the hardest job I've ever done. And you know me and Bob, you and I have done it together. We've done live broadcasting of sports.
Yep.
And the stress and the pressure in that alone, doing a live sports broadcast is huge. But this is 10 times harder. But I don't care. I've never loved anything more. I actually love it more than when I used to do the TV production at the other places. So yeah. I don't know what it is. It's infectious. Just getting to know these kids and you know, watching them grow and watching them learn. And I'm really lucky because I get to teach the fun class. So,
right.
It's
not chemistry.
No, it's not chemistry. It's not, you know, it's not algebra. It's, you know, TV production. And they come in and they're just thirsty for the information, which is awesome.
Yeah, which is so much fun. And it's a passion to be in this industry. And I think maybe I'm hoping the kids get that too as well, because as we both know, there's so many twists and turns, and you devote so much of your life if you want to do this for a living as we have. But gosh, it's so much fun. And there's such you have to have a real passion for it. And I'm sure these kids are learning that.
Definitely. Definitely. You have to be passionate for it. And it takes a certain type of person to teach, you know, and to teach teenagers. Because they're a unique entity, teens, you know, you have to be able to relate to them, but you also have to learn how to guide them and draw those boundaries and be firm with them, which is hard, you know, because a lot of these teens are pushing back. They're trying to figure out their place in the world. So you have to find the balance of letting them be, express themselves and figure out who they're going to be. But then you also have to teach them, you know, discipline and, you know, a love for God and a love for themselves, which is not easy to do.
Which is so true. But still, the main driver of the school, right, is faith formation and academics and learning that. And it's a rigorous academic environment at J. Sarah.
It is. It is. And it's very challenging. And, you know, when I hear from kids who went to other high schools, or even the kids that say, that come back and visit me and they go, you know, Mrs. B, they call me Mrs. B. When I ended up at college, I mean, it actually, college wasn't, this was harder because I felt I was more challenged here in this high school than I was. But what's really great is that we're giving them a foundation, you know, of respect for themselves and their love for God and their faith. And even if they don't even realize it's happening to them, it's being embedded in their psyche. It's being embedded in their hearts. Yeah. So when they do go into the adult world, they really surprise themselves when they come back and they go, oh my gosh, I really found God again. And I visited my campus, you know, Catholic chapter, and I got involved, and it wasn't anything I thought I would do. So it's really inspiring to hear that they're staying on their faith journeys as they go into high school.
Yeah. So important. You know, one of the other things too is journalism itself is really at a crossroads, I think, in the world. And so it's important that these kids are learning the tenets of journalism, the correct ways to be a journalist, to cover news and to send them into these, you know, positions equipped to do that. It's a different landscape than I think when we started out in this business. Is that something that you're trying to ingrain in these kids as well?
Absolutely. It's journalistic ethics. In fact, it's funny you should say that because I just did that unit this week with my introductory students. So we're learning about how to make a news project right now. They're working with their partners and they are learning how to research a news topic, how to write a script, how to formulate how they want to get the message across. But they're also learning that they have to fact check and they have to check to make sure that their sources are correct and what they're saying is factual and true. And then we have a whole, like I spend a whole day kind of teaching them about the code of ethics in journalism by the Society of Journalists. And they're learning about, you know, how to be accountable and how to be transparent and how to be humanitarians as journalists as well. So keeping in mind, you know, what they're putting out there, what information they're putting out there. So, you know, and I do tell my students, I'm like, you know, opinion news is not news. So make sure that you are getting your information from reliable sources, which is one of the things that I really try to press. But yeah, the five journalistic ethics is something that we're actually, touching on this week so that they realize that, you know, how to be very analytical of what they're taking in from the outside and really pay attention to it and then formulate their own opinions. However, I teach them as a journalist, they must be unbiased and not take a side and must be equal and fair in their reporting and their research. So.
Well, it's a fun class. Obviously, it's very important. And I'm glad that it's growing at the school. And I think that's important. And yeah, I think you're doing a great job with it. And we appreciate you coming on the podcast and talking about today. Thank you, Sarah. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
And hopefully some kids that will choose J. Sarah in the future will say, hey, you know what? Maybe I want to be a broadcast journalist myself someday.
Absolutely. And if you are considering, you know, J. Sarah as an option, definitely come by and tour. We always have tours available for anybody. And then when we get our new studio up and running, hopefully in the next month or two, they'll be really amazed at what we've been able to build here.
All right. We'll have you back on after that happens and you get it launched, and we'll definitely do a tour of it for sure.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Sarah. That's Sarah Breckbill. the broadcast journalism teacher at J. Sarah Catholic High School. Thank you again to Sarah Breckbill. I'm excited to see what these kids will do, and hopefully a lot of them will stick with it, and maybe they'll find a place in this business as well. And I'm excited to see that next crop of reporters and broadcast journalism people who want to come up and do news and all that fun stuff, as I've been able to do it over the years as well. And we'll continue to do it right here with Catholic Sports View. We are having so much fun doing this show and bringing you the best of the Trinity League each and every week. And there's so much more to come. We're just getting through the fall season here. We're going to start winter just around the corner really quick. That means a lot of basketball and a lot of other great sports that are coming up in the winter. And then the spring will be here before that. And then we'll get through another school year, but still plenty more to go right here on Catholic Sports View. And we appreciate you listening, and we hope you enjoy what we're doing here. I am Bob Gibson. We want to thank everybody involved here with the program. Once again, we are brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Orange. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week right here on Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith.
You've been listening to Catholic Sports View, exploring where athletics meets faith, a production of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange in Southern California. Tell a friend about this podcast and be sure to share on your social media platforms. We'll catch up with you again next week, right here on Catholic Sports View.